You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Tuesday, welcome to the House of All Marine Radio. Hope you're having a good morning so far. For those of you that are irritated with me for not posting anything last week, all of the segments from last week are up. So you better listen to them and tell me how great they are. I'm kidding. Well, maybe not. There's an interview from Big Timber, Montana. There's a couple of them, but the first one is there's a series of pictures. Montana man fly fishing. Yeah, in a stream on his ranch, and then Rudy's son watching, learning. Picture of us shooting up on a ridgeline, which was fun, and then a little pistol range that Rob set up outside of his garage. That was fun. And then a view from one of the houses on the property. Pretty cool. And then Rob took us up to the top of the highest elevation on his property. And there's a couple pictures of us, or one of us up there. And then, but just give you a sense of how beautiful it is. So those are up there. So for all of you that were complaining, yeah, I expect to hear from you. So that in the news today. It's not actually in the news. When I do post-traumatic winning, one of the things I say is, you know, learn about what it is to live with trauma. And it's not very hard to do that. In your news feed, type in PTSD, type in trauma, right? And one of the things you ought to type in is Viktor Frankl. Yeah. And so if you type in Viktor Frankl, you will get stories that pop up on occasion, and there's not that many written about him and his work, but they are written still. And so I would tell you to do that. And because I did that, not only do I tell you what to do on occasion, I do it myself. Story popped up. Viktor Frankl on how music, nature, and our love for each other succor. Now, for those of you who don't know who don't know what that means, let me tell you what that means. Right? It's a noun. It can be used as a noun or a verb, right? So, assistance and support at times of hardship and distress. Okay, now, let me play how it's supposed to be pronounced.
Succor.
Succor. That's not how I've heard it pronounced. I've heard it pronounced succor.
Succor. Succor. Succor. Succor. Succor.
Okay. Used as a verb, give assistance or aid to, and they give an example of that. Prisoners of war were liberated and succored. So, there you have it. So anyway, Viktor Frankl on how music, nature, and our love for each other succor our survival and give meaning to our lives. Now, let me tell you something about that headline. You know what the essence of communication is? You're broadcasting on a frequency that I get, that I receive, that I understand. And if you put the word succor in a headline, it means that you're more interested in telling me that you're smart than you are in communicating your idea to me. Because I consider myself moderately well-read, and that is not a word that you run across very much. So when you're looking at helping a lot of people and you use words like that, you know what that tells me? You're an asshole. So anyway, sorry about that. The subheadline is a long one. We do not know the feeling that overtakes us when we are in the presence of a particular person, and roughly translates as the fact that this person exists in the world at all. This alone makes this world and life in it meaningful. So anyway, there's a picture of Viktor Frankl's saying yes to life in spite of everything, which is a book that I'm not sure if that's the most recent book. Okay, but Viktor Frankl, they unearthed another one of his works, and actually Nancy called me yesterday and we were talking about it. She was telling me she just finished it. So anyway, so just a friendly public service announcement reminding you that that is a good thing to do, right? Life's tough. It's tougher when you're stupid, right? Living through traumatic times is tough. It's tougher when you don't know anything about it, okay? So make sure you practice what you preach, or make sure you practice what I preach, more importantly. In so doing, you can help not only yourself but other people. Now, there's a couple other things from last week that I saw, that I noted, that I thought I'd share with you. Headline, ABC News.
Some see a grilled cheese sandwich and ask why.
Some see a grilled cheese sandwich and just eat the son of a bitch. Anyway, so people like, headline, Taliban make big changes ahead of expected talks with Kabul. Taliban officials say their organization has made several changes in its leadership ahead of expected talks with Kabul aimed at ending Afghanistan's decades of war. The Taliban have put the son of the movement's feared founder in charge of their military wing and added several powerful figures to their negotiating team, Taliban officials say. The shakeup, one of the most significant in years, comes ahead of expected talks with Kabul aimed at ending decades of war in Afghanistan. As head of the newly united military wing, 30-year-old Mullah Muhammad Yaqub brings his father's fiercely uncompromising reputation to the battlefield. Equally significant is the addition of four members of the insurgents group's leadership council to the 20-member negotiating team. 20-member negotiating team. What are you going to get done with that? The shuffle, overseen by Taliban leader Mullah Hepatula Akhundzada is meant to tighten his control over the movement's military and political arms, officials said on a condition of anonymity because the Taliban had not authorized them to talk about it. That's so funny. Analysts say the shakeup could be good news for negotiations with the Afghan political leadership and a sign of how seriously the Taliban are taking this second and perhaps most critical step in a deal with Washington, which the insurgents signed in February. I'd say it appears to be a positive development. A development because the Taliban are creating a delegation that seems more senior and more broad-based than they've used to date, or then might be strictly necessary for the opening stages of the talks, said Andrew Wilder, president of the Asia Program at the Washington-based U.S. Institute for Peace. If you want to see the glass as half full, this strengthened Taliban delegation could be interpreted as a sign that the group is planning to engage in a serious discussion. So I thought that was kind of interesting. I see that as interesting. So, I mean, and in my opinion, for one of two reasons. They really see this as a chance to end, you know, war in Afghanistan and are serious about that. Or it's their chance to gain control of the government and they're serious about that. And then after they get the United States out of the way militarily, they will then engage in what they've engaged in for years, which is this war. But if you've listened to us talk about this, our prediction is Afghan will return to what it has always been, which is a nation governed by warlords in desperate places. The cities will be controlled by what has been perceived as the federal government, but those strong people will control the cities. And the Taliban will control most of the countryside. And that's how they will exist. So I thought that was interesting. And we've been talking about that for a while. And then there's one more story that I saw that caught my eye. And that was a story in the Washington Post. And so the story, the headline is, if I can get it to come up, hold on. All right. The headline is this: The Troll, a fake flag burning at Gettysburg, was only his latest hoax. A Bernie Sanders supporter has provoked the far right for years using online aliases, sometimes with dangerous results. A Washington Post investigation identified Adam Rahabua, 38, as the organizer of a purported event to burn U.S. flags at the Gettysburg National Military Park. Hundreds of armed right-wingers flocked to the site to disrupt the event. It was a hoax. Adam Rahuba, a former concert promoter, works part-time as a food delivery driver and a DJ. At 38, he spent most of the past year staying on a friend's couch in a small town north of Pittsburgh. A Washington Post investigation found that Rahuba is also the anonymous figure behind a number of social media hoaxes the most recently played out in Gettysburg on Independence Day, that have riled far-right extremists in recent years and repeatedly duped partisan media outlets. Interesting that the Washington Post would say that. Most would say they are a partisan media outlet. Rahuba once claimed that that activists are planning to desecrate a Confederate cemetery in Georgia, the Post found. He seeded rumors of an organized effort to report Trump supporters for supposed child abuse, and he promoted a purported grassroots campaign to confiscate American guns. These false claims circulated widely on social media and on internet message boards. They were often amplified by right-wing commentators and covered as real news by media outlets such as Breitbart and Gateway Pundits. The hoaxes, outlandish in their details, have spurred fringe groups of conspiracy-minded Americans to action by playing on partisan fears. They have led to highly combustible situations, attracting heavily armed militia members and far-right activists eager to protect values they think are under siege, as well as large mobilizations of police. Now, right, I want to get to his quote, which I found kind of interesting. Washington Post reporters located him in a friend's apartment in Pennsylvania. He acknowledged in the interview that he was behind 13 aliases and social media accounts that promoted hoaxes as far back as 2013. He said, "I guess I'm outed." Quote, "I found myself very annoyed with the rise of right-wing populism, so I thought I'd do my own thing to push back against them." He laughed when he was asked if he considered himself a member of Antifa. Quote, "I am Antifa," he said, "but I think you're Antifa as well, as is everybody with common sense. But as part of an organized group, absolutely not." He said he was not concerned about potential backlash from his identity being revealed. Quote, "I'm all in." Quote, "Over the past few months, local misinformation about apparently non-existent Antifa gatherings and invasions has proliferated in communities throughout the United States, sowing social and political division," three lawmakers wrote, right? Members of the House Intelligence Committee. I'm sorry, two of them, both Democrats. One of them by the name of, from Illinois, Raja Krishnamoori, right, said this. And this is a member of the House of Representatives. He was concerned that responses to the hoaxes could spiral out of control. But Rahuba goes on to say this. "The message here is that any idiot on the internet can get a bunch of people to show up at a Union cemetery with a bunch of Confederate flags and Nazi tattoos on their necks that just make them look foolish," he said. He also had little sympathy for the man who shot himself because of supposedly one of his hoaxes. And said this, "There's some comedic value to that happening," Ruba said. He's a lifelong resident of the Pittsburgh area. He began trolling in high school, mocking friends, pulling off other ruses. And this is a sentence that made me read this, right? "It made me realize that people will believe the most unrealistic nonsense on the internet." For a time, he ran a website called 911wasfunny.com, where he made light of 9/11 and other tragedies. Quote, "September 11th was funny. If this offends you, you need to lighten up." quote, those people deserve what they got, mostly because people from New York are pompous jerks. He later took the site down. So, you know, this is typical of our culture today. Right? He goes on, quote, controversy creates cash. One of the best ways you can generate traffic to your website to generate attention to anything is by pissing off a lot of people. Also in 2014, he began advertising services to artificially inflate signs of traffic on blogs and other websites. In one promotional video, he offered to provide social media users 4,500 free Twitter followers. In another one, he offered to post 25 comments on a blog for $5. Can't go wrong, he said in the video. It gives the appearance of activity on your blog. So, I mean, this article goes on and on and on about something that is so prevalent in our world right now that it's amazing. It's amazing. And so just as I was talking about, what's worthy of your life? What's worthy of your happiness? And I think less of all of that certainly is. There's so many things that are worthy of your time. And your effort, that why would you spend any time, you know, following this nonsense? And so, I mean, I being up in Montana for 8 days, you know, where I did not have time to pay attention to this nonsense, was good for me. I could feel it. And this started a trend about a month ago where I just shut the news off. And yesterday, I watched the Yankees play. Then I tried to watch the A's and the Giants play, but I fell asleep. And we've had this stuff shoved down our throats because we've been quarantined and told to stay at home and whatnot. There's been none of the things that we normally would enjoy have been available to us. So we've learned to make do other ways. And I would tell you, to me, it raises a lot of questions about how you pursue happiness. And that's what Alex Hollings and I talked about yesterday, the pursuit of happiness. I think it's a pretty important fundamental question in your life. And there's so many great ways to spend your time, to spend your life. I would tell you, don't be afraid to do inventory on this. And, you know, again, if you turn on the news, the latest controversy is the people in St. Louis that pulled guns out, blah, 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 blah. I mean, how does that impact your life? How does that impact my life? The cities across the United States controlled by liberals are going to learn, you know, century-old lessons about why people band together, security, and things like that. They have a better idea, and they will attempt to implement that. And they will run up against age-old truths because the character of human beings has not changed. And then the pendulum will swing back. What's interesting, and why the Washington Post story, right? What's interesting about the Washington Post story is to the extent that a guy living on a couch who's essentially making shit up, lying, how he can get traction in the lives of people. Which to me ought to scare everybody. So my advice is unplug from most of that stuff, right? You want to get quality news? Get it from the Wall Street Journal, get it from the Associated Press. All the rest of your news feed, just just don't pay too much attention to. And then ask yourself, what am I doing that makes me happy? And am I doing that often enough? Who are the people that make me happy? Are they in my life enough? And change your life. Devote yourself to your own pursuit of happiness. And, I mean, look, we all know the news on a daily basis is filled with the idiots of our nation. The stupidest shit that you see designed for you to watch, right, is put in front of you. The theatrics that come out of Washington, D.C., most of them go nowhere. Somebody asked me yesterday about, you know, do you think the Electoral College is in jeopardy? No, I don't. Why? Well, it would take an amendment to the Constitution to do that. And do you think the small states across this country are going to give up that the little power they have to balance the way the nation runs? The answer, no, they're not. Okay, dead issue. Right? The Electoral College is part of the beautiful balancing act that the Founding Fathers put into the infrastructure of this country. Always designed to push to the middle. Same thing, you know, with Congress, right? I mean, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, they can say anything. They're in the minority. It's not going that way. Because at some point you gotta balance what gets through with a house that you don't control. The other party does. So much of it is just theatrics. So anyway, the Gettysburg flag burning story is really interesting snapshot into what whipsaws the country on a regular basis. An unemployed dude that for some, you know, gets off on making fun of, you know, people that died on September 11th. Really? What is that? Is that the only way that you can get attention in your sorry ass life? And you know what the answer to that is? Pretty much. Otherwise, man, I'm just a loser alone sleeping on somebody's couch and I don't really want to go there. So I find celebrity in this perverse thing that I've got myself involved in. Now he's being written about in the Washington Post. Interesting. Is there no recourse for people that just lie and create hoaxes that impact law enforcement people so that maybe we can teach somebody a lesson that, you know, that's not really how you should do it? I wonder. All right. Grant Newsham's going to join us in about 35 minutes. So looking forward to talking to Grant for the first time in a few weeks. So we'll catch up on what's going on in the Pacific Rim. And let's see. We'll check the news headlines today. So on this Tuesday, the 21st day of July, the United States Marine Corps Band makes this morning official. Good morning. And is just dedicated to all the people up in Montana who hosted the events of the past week in conjunction with BarX. Wonderful people who created an environment that was absolutely conducive to hopefully changing people's lives. And so so you're going to meet some of them. And looking forward to that. And so this is dedicated to people who may have never served in their life, have an incredibly compassionate heart, and especially compassionate relative to veterans. So so this is dedicated to them.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country, we care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Jack Riley is an awesome human being, I have to tell you that. Now, I want to talk about Jack here in a minute. But we got to do the weather first. Currently in Quantico, it is sunny and 91. Yeah, it's going to be disgusting in Quantico today, and in as well as Northern Virginia, D.C. Down the coast, Camp Lejeune, it is sunny and 90. 29 Palms, sunny and 89. Marine Corps Base Camp Pendleton, cloudy and 67. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dawn breaking. Cloudy in 71. Okinawa, dark cloudy and 82. The Helmand Province of Afghanistan, clear evening in 94, and in Ramadi late in the day, sunny and 109. Currently at the home of Almarine Radio, the corporate headquarters, it is partly sunny and 66, looking for a high of 75 today. Yep. And let's see. 72 tomorrow, cooling trend hits Southern California with a 10% chance of rain. What is that? Thursday, 73, Friday, 75, and Saturday, 76. All right, that is a look at your weather. When we come back, I've got some Jack Riley to talk about, and then we'll check some news headlines on a Tuesday edition of Almarine Radio. Grant Newsham will join us after that. So don't touch that dial. An informative and interesting morning awaits you. That's right. I just said that.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to Almarine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
You know, one of the things I've learned over time is that often you listen to something a second and third and fourth time in your life and you hear it different, right? You hear it different. So one of the things that I try to emphasize to Marines when I speak is that what I'm going to tell them is the traumatic wisdom that comes out of the Marine Corps. Okay, that this is not, I'm not a PhD, right? I don't even know if I actually took a psychology class, although I do know who Maslow is, so I believe at some point I sat through some of that. However, I'm not a psychologist, right? As all the people that would criticize me would tell you, I'm not a PhD. And so, but this wisdom that I you know go out and talk about that is post-traumatic winning, it comes from our culture, and most of it comes with, most of it comes from the enlisted side of the Marine Corps. Okay.
Not once you're out of the Corps,
not the gifted side of the Marine Corps. Now, I want to play this, and I want you to think of what Jack Riley is saying in the context of, right, a guy who was a squad leader in Vietnam, and I want you to think of it receiving this as a fellow Marine, you know, maybe in, maybe out. But I want you to listen to the wisdom of what he has to say, right? He figured out post-traumatic winning a long time ago.
Responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
So he says, don't waste your life. Okay. And I mean, so I'm listening to that, you know, I'm listening to that up in Montana, thinking about, like, here's a guy who's has a story written about him in the Washington Post because he's really good at lying and deceiving people. And that is the currency of the realm in our country today. The rise of social media, everybody gets a voice. If I can just figure out, you know, the hot words to say, right, to blow this up, then I will, you know, I'll be somebody. But you're a liar. The things you fabricate, you know, are lies. Does that matter? Evidently not. So there's such a dichotomy between, I think, devoting your life to something good, and then kind of, and I think the whole COVID thing, where we've all been, you know, kind of a forced confinement, maybe paying more attention to the news than we normally would because of the killing of George Floyd and COVID-19 news, right? We watched it kind of play out. But I'm going to tell you, there's real, I believe, real personal danger in that. And when I see personal danger, I mean you endangering yourself. And I would tell you that it is certainly not worth that price. And then he says, we care about everybody. And one of the great things about post-traumatic winning is it's for everybody. Right? So I want you to listen to it one more time. And I mean, and so to me, Jack, I mean, even I didn't understand, like, I don't think, well, some of the things he was saying when he said them. I didn't get him like I should have got him, right? Because I probably just wasn't there yet, right? But here he is one more time.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died.
Okay, so one of the things I talk about and why that is such an important statement is this. If I can show you a way that you can turn the traumatic experience that you experienced, especially for combat veterans, in your life, if I could teach you how to turn that hole into a trampoline to make those things useful in your life that would send your life to a different place, would you be interested in talking about that? And the answer is universally yes. Yes, I absolutely would. Okay. So to me, his words are so full of wisdom, right? So full of wisdom. And he goes on.
I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness. Do something meaningful.
So don't waste your life. Endurance, simply enduring trauma. I consider that wasting an opportunity that you have to use that. Now, wasting your life is a pretty serious statement. If that's how you choose to cope with it, then so be it. And I wouldn't consider your life wasted. I would consider the opportunity you have to impact others as wasted, though. I think that would be accurate. And that would be your choice. Okay? And that would be your choice.
And don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me. I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone.
I had to belch. Sorry. I didn't think I would share that with you. I think it's significant that he says we care about everybody. And that's the opportunity, right? That's the opportunity that Jack saw that, you know, doing this post-traumatic winning thing has revealed to me. We care about everybody. And I've had some conversations with the VA, and what I talked to the VA about is this idea of an enabled veteran, that I'm better for this experience, right? I'm better for this experience, and I have the tools to go back to my community and help my family, help my friends, help my community. And we have millions of veterans that leave the service, right, every decade, and each one of those is a seed. Can be a seed of these ideas. This concept of an enabled veteran with tools that can help. And again, if you look at statistics for serious mental illness, it's about 5% of the total population, less than 2% of the DOD. Okay. And what is a serious mental illness? It is, right, psychosis, bipolar, schizophrenic, all those things that have, you know, manically depressed, all those things that, you know, that affect your ability to reason. And so if you say that if you're not in that group, we have something that's based in the truth that you need to see. I mean, its application is almost everybody universal. Its application is almost universal for everyone outside of that group. Okay. And so that's the opportunity that we have as veterans. But, you know, I mean, I thank God for crossing paths with Jack Riley. Let me read you an email. Mac, how did you cross paths initially with Jack Riley? He sent me an email. He heard an interview that I did with the former Commandant of the Marine Corps, General Butch Neal, Richard, nicknamed Butch Neal, and he sent me just this really nice, you know, email about the interview, that he had listened to it. And so I said, hey, would you like to come on? And he said, sure, I'd love to. Because I will tell you this, General Neal really was not interested in, although we talked about the Battle of Gatlin's Corner and he explained it, he was not too interested in talking about the details of it. And so we did another battlefield study with Jack. And then we did a subsequent interview with Jack, maybe a couple. And I would tell you, if you want, I'm in the process of re-listening to those interviews and pulling more quotes out of them. Because, I mean, he's like a quote machine, Jack Riley. He's a quote machine of goodness. When he was essentially doing this on his own. So anyway, so he's an inspiration to me. So I enjoy him. I need to get him on the program again here relatively quickly. So I will do that. All right, to the news we go. And then we'll do about 10 minutes of the news. We'll take a break, and then we'll get Grant on. The Secretary of Defense, I saw an article with the headline, Secretary of Defense attempts to shed his lapdog image. I was like, whoa, let's not get too near the truth. Headline, Esper says no orders have been issued to withdraw troops from South Korea. So, again, stray voltage, who knows, right? The issue is that cost sharing. The Wall Street Journal reported Friday that the Pentagon had presented options to the White House for drawing down the number of military personnel on the Korean Peninsula because of the ongoing disagreement between the two countries over how much South Korea should pay to offset the cost of having American troops stationed in the country. So, at issue, right? The president has demanded that South Korea absorb a five-fold increase to about $5 billion per year, though U.S. negotiators have said they reduce that demand to an unannounced amount. So anyway, that in the news today. Next headline. U.S. forces Japan allow its installations to report coronavirus case numbers. Like, are you kidding me? Next story. The former Army medic gets second Silver Star over 50 years after saving 10 fellow soldiers in Vietnam. Always cool stories. Bart Doc Fabian received a second Silver Star more than five decades after he earned it in a fierce battle at an enemy base camp in Vietnam, during which he saved the lives of 10 soldiers. And, you know, and here he is. He's standing there. The picture has him standing there in a T-shirt. And I think he's a member of the 3rd Armored Cavalry Regiment. I think that's their... in fact, I'm almost sure of it. But I'm not sure because I'm not that much up on my Army stuff. But the Black Horse, I thought, was a 3rd ACR. And I think they're saying is Brave Rifles. He was with the 11th Armored Cavalry Regiment during the war, received the medal during a ceremony at Representative Chris Smith's office in Freehold, New Jersey, the home of Bruce Springsteen, on Saturday. I added that. The story does not say that. He'd been promised the medal a day after the roughly hour-long battle of April 13th, 1969, but it just never happened and I let it go, Fabian said. But he began working it out 2 years ago, hoping to share it with the twin sister of one of 19 soldiers killed in that battle. His vehicle commander, he said in a video recorded by MidJerseyNews.com. During the April battle, Fabian left the relative safety of his armored cavalry assault vehicle to tend to wounded comrades, making several trips to the front of the formation to treat them and move them to safety, according to a citation Smith read at the ceremony. Fabian also killed two enemy fighters with his sidearm and recovered the bodies of several slain comrades. With his sidearm, that would be his pistol. That's called close quarters, getting it on. So congratulations. And obviously, well-deserved. So that in the news today. 3,000 Aviano airmen stand down for raw discussions on racism. That in the news today. As the nation deals with the narrative that the United States is institutionally racist. And you're racist because of the color of your skin. The Marine Corps banned visits to Hiroshima amid an uptick in coronavirus cases there. So, another headline, F-35s once bound for Turkey will now go to the United States Air Force. The Department of Defense, Education Wing in the Pacific says no fall football. No fall football. So, let's see. USNI News, I've not done too much, still done too much investigation into the Bonhomme Richard fire. I'm still like shaking my head, like that doesn't happen here in the United States. Right? That does not happen here in the United States. How in the world does that happen? CNO Gilday promises a thorough investigation after seeing fire damage at the USS Bonhomme Richard. This is written by Gidget Fuentes. Well, that's called like nothing else to say, so say this. Quote, there will be a thorough investigation that will determine the next steps in a variety of areas. Make no mistake, we will follow the facts of what happened here. We will be honest with ourselves, and we will get after it as a Navy. You know, again, the Navy just, you know, really struggling as an institution. Naval Sea Command Systems will lead the investigation. Criminal Investigative Services, naval type, so NCIS, will lead a criminal investigation, quote, as we always do to make sure there's no malfeasance at the root of the fire, he said. The third investigation is a command investigation overseen by U.S. Pacific Fleet that will take a look at several echelons in areas such as, did we have the right procedures in place? Did we react correctly to the fire? Were there things we could have done differently? Were there things that we should have had in place that we didn't have in place? We did do it right. Oh, what did we do right? What did we not do right? Those will be the important investigations as well. My intention is for the investigations to be made available to the public when they are completed in a couple years. Right. Quote, we have not seen a fire of this magnitude on a Navy ship in recent memory, at least in my career. He went on to say, there is obviously electrical damage to the ship. There is structural damage to the ship and mechanical damage to the ship that we need to assess in much more detail before we make a final determination of the next step. That is whether we are able to fix the Bonhomme Richard or whether we will scrap the Bonhomme Richard. Now, I will tell you there's one other story that I want to get to, and then I'll do top five stories in Early Bird, and then we'll take a break. And that is, at the moment that the United States is, let's see, I don't know how I would describe it. What would you describe the discussion that the United States is having about its the amphibious arm of its military? There was a story in Reuters yesterday, right? So at the very moment, the United States is, I mean, first of all, the Navy is not interested in amphibious warfare. All right? The Marine Corps is now engaged in a discussion and a vision led by General Berger of transforming what the Marine Corps does. Headline, a Reuters special report. China expands its amphibious forces in challenge to U.S. supremacy beyond Asia. So as the United States begins to dismantle something that the United States Navy isn't interested in, China sees the amphibious arm as a vital component of becoming a world power. Maybe one of the last pieces it puts into place is the power projection piece so that it can supplant the U.S. as the world power on the planet. So it is a pretty long article that talks about the development of the amphibious. And we'll talk to Grant about that here next hour. But, I mean, the irony of it all, right? Can you pass it up? The irony is, as the United States morphs its amphibious arm into, I don't know, commando boats with rockets, security forces, China is standing up their amphibious forces, which they believe will project Chinese power around the world. So it's an interesting little dichotomy there. And ironic, I might add. All right, top five stories. Number one, House Democrats vote to block funding for nuclear weapons tests. Again, this is the Kabuki dance in Washington. Like, really? So, okay. Playing politics during the election year. Number two, it's official. U.S. Air Force to buy Turkish F-35s. All right, that's good. I think the American course of action relative to Turkey is appropriate. Turkey wants to dance with the Russians. Let them dance. Number three, two sailors helped fight the Bonham Richard fire test positive for COVID-19. Like, I don't know. Is that a story? Like, I guess. It's got two major components of, like, American obsession these days. A fire on a naval ship in port that hasn't happened in anybody's memory that lasted for 4 days. How the fuck does that happen? Number four. Trump's defense secretary moves to shed his yes man reputation. That's in Politico. Number five, House votes to curtail the Insurrection Powers Act. And again, that is kabuki dance bullshit because it's not going to pass the Senate. Right? But it is throwing dirt up in the air, and we all appreciate that. All right. We'll take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. The one and only Grant Newsham on the other side. So, don't touch that dial, whatever you do. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home fort, the one and only, that's right, I said that, All Warrior Radio Network.